Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. Dustin, another big week in the Big Ten, wasn't it?
Yep, it was a lot of fun. We almost had some major upsets, but a few teams avoided that and sets up some more really fun football for this coming week. So I'm excited to talk about last week and then look ahead to this week and obviously college football playoff talk.
Yes, we've reached the point now where I think playoff talk is legitimate. I mean, way back from before the season started, it was one of my favorite sports. Trying to figure out the playoff permutations. Now I think it's starting to narrow down. We've got just a couple permutations to everything, but it is beginning to shape up. So we're going to devote a whole segment to that. Let's start, though, with last week's games, and there were a few big ones. Let's start with the early game, the Friday game, where Illinois had a chance, Dustin, to create absolute havoc, chaos in the Big Ten when they went out to Oregon. It was not to be. I think a lot of us, thought that point spread was crazy. It was like a 21-point spread. And Oregon, they had that covered easily by halftime against Illinois.
Yeah, that was I think we learned. So I'm still going to throw in a little bit of the cross-country, you know, travel there, because I still think that's a factor. If you look at the scores from the weekend, right, all three home teams won in convincing fashion in that. I still think Illinois is a really solid football team, but I think that this moment, this opportunity was maybe a little bit too big for their program. That's not to say that Brett Bielema is not doing great things. That's not to say that they can't still have a really good, I mean, this is still a team. You look at their schedule, they could still get 10 wins, but in terms of playing a team with the speed and the talent of Oregon, I mean, that's a team that, like, once you get down or if you make one too many mistakes, there's no mercy. They will make you pay. And I think you saw like a culmination of just anything that could go wrong for Illinois did go wrong. And look, Jim, it could have been much worse. Like what the score was, what, 35-0 at halftime, something along those lines. It was
35-3.
Okay. Illinois got a field goal on the board. Yeah. It could have been a lot uglier. So I give credit to Illinois for fighting at least in the second half, but man, I know it's only been two games and they've been against Purdue and Illinois, but Oregon has cruised these last two games. They look like a power hitter, and not just in the Big Ten, but in college football.
Yeah, they really do. They've solidified that number one ranking. It will be interesting, though, and we'll get to it. They're going to travel to Michigan this coming week. So could you believe we're referring to Michigan as a trap game and they're on the side of the trapping somebody else? So that could be interesting. We will get to that. Another one of the teams that traveled, Rutgers had to travel to USC. If USC doesn't have to do that long distance traveling, we found out they're a pretty good team. They beat LSU. They gave Penn State all they could handle at home, you know, needing to get into overtime for that. And USC took care of business against Rutgers 42-20. And it also appears that this Rutgers team is just, I think you used the term off the rails. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they've been derailed quite a bit. We thought about this as a dark horse in the Big Ten, as a team that could win 8 or 9 games. Jim, they might be lucky to win 6. And it makes me wonder, this is maybe a little bit more of the philosophical, and I don't know if I've talked about this on this show or not. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. I'm wondering if Greg Schiano needs to change his preseason game plan, because I think they're practicing a little too hard. They seem to be banged up every year more than any other team, and it's really costing them. Like, they've got some really good players, but it doesn't matter if they're on the sideline. So this was supposed to be a team that was supposed to be a lot better. We thought that with Ethan Calliope-Manis, maybe they'd be able to stretch the field at least in some capacity. Kyle Manungai is considered one of the best running backs. He led the Big Ten in rushing a year ago. They had four starting offensive linemen coming back, a lot of defensive. They just don't look like the same team. And I think some of those injuries are part of it. And I don't know. I think after they lost that second game, their first game, right? They lost four in a row. After they lost that game to Nebraska 14-7, they haven't looked like the same team that we saw maybe through the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season.
No, they haven't. I thought that was a team that would be, you know, kind of like how we've described Illinois, maybe Wisconsin, traditionally Iowa. They turn it into a rock fight, but could they find enough offense, perhaps with the Duke quarterback? Now they've just been getting blown out, their defense giving up a lot of points, Dustin.
Yeah, and that's not very we've seen Greg Schiano's defenses give up a lot of points to teams like Ohio State or Oregon, but you know, or USC has had a good offense, but they only scored 28 against Maryland. So it's not like this is the high-flying unit that we've seen before, but this is just not good. And it's particularly bad on the defensive side, which is supposed to be Greg Schiano's strong suit, and it hasn't been. And their schedule's still manageable. If you looked and saw the last four games on their schedule and you said they could win all of those, you're dead right. Like they could finish 8-4, but the way they're playing now, I don't know that they're going to get to 6.
No. And USC is obviously a different team when they don't have to travel across the country. Yeah. And they're still, I think, a dangerous team. Those Indiana Hoosiers, I'll tell you what, Dustin, I think the bubble has finally burst. They only won by 2 touchdowns with their back with the backup quarterback. I'll tell you what, give them a lot of credit every week. Again, you say Washington had to travel the 2 time zones, but still, considering it was with the backup quarterback, Indiana still wins by 2 touchdowns and puts up over 30 points.
Yeah, and I've talked about, even though they haven't looked it all the time, I still think Washington's defense is pretty solid. So you're talking about a backup quarterback having to go up against that defense. And guess what, Jim? Their offense isn't clicking like it usually is. Their defense steps up. They have 2 interceptions, including a pick six, to get them on the board for that first touchdown. So this is a really well-rounded team. They play like this is their team exemplifies complementary football. When coaches talk, that's what they're talking about with Indiana. You know what's interesting too about this IU team, Jim? I wonder, they're 8-0 right now. And I know we'll talk about this later. I have 4 in the power ranking, so behind 3 teams still. I do wonder though, in the AP, they're ranked number 13. If they have an SEC patch, do you think they're top 7? I think they're top 7 if they have an SEC patch on their jersey.
Well, if they have the SEC patch on the jersey, they might have a tougher schedule. I think, you know, their signature win is Nebraska. I know they blew them out. But I do agree, though, that they should be ranked higher because they're not just winning. They're blowing people out.
And how, I guess my point to that was, how high was Ole Miss and Mizzou ranked when they were undefeated and had no quality wins?
Mizzou is a fraud, and I knew they were a fraud, and I called them a fraud since week one, Dustin, if you recall.
I do recall that. I think this is why I like the college football playoff rankings, not having a preseason ranking and waiting until this late in the season, because I think that depending on what happens next week, right, I think that Indiana will have probably a more favorable ranking than they do, because basically right now the reason they're behind so many teams is just because they weren't ranked in the preseason polls, in my opinion.
Yes, yes. They have to climb over too many people to get there. And, you know, you look at it and some would argue Pitt is in the same boat.
Yeah, good point.
You know, because they're an ACC team. And ultimately, well, looking at Indiana, they have Ohio State, and I know this is a different Michigan team, but obviously, if they were undefeated, beat both those teams, go undefeated through the year, it's a completely different conversation. But if they were to lose to Ohio State, be an 11-1 team, I've had people ask me about the Penn State scenario. Could Penn State be 11-1 and not make the playoffs? I think it's even a more valid question for Indiana being 11-1. When the season started, if you would say to me, Indiana's going 11-1, or any team in the Big Ten going 11-1, they're making the playoffs, okay?
Right.
And we'll talk about it next segment, but I think I still believe that, Dustin, but that's going to be one of my questions for you in quarter number two. Let's quickly get to a couple of these other games. Ohio State at home beats Nebraska 21-17. They had a total of 64 yards running the ball. They total yardage, they outdid Nebraska by a grand total, Dustin, of 12 yards.
Yeah, not a great showing from Ohio State. And, Jim, let me point this out. Now, I don't know if it would have made a difference in the final score or not, but and I don't know who all watched that game. The officiating, the idea of home cooking was on full display in that game. Whew, was it bad?
Well, it was awful. It was awful. And I know I've talked to you, even going back a year or two, Dustin, I've talked to you about some of the officiating. And Penn State's only been in this conference, I think, 30 years, and they're still the new guy on the block and have gotten, you know, not the benefit of the doubt from the officiating when playing Michigan or Ohio State. But, well, I'm glad you brought it up because I did watch that game. And the one thing that I really cannot understand, Dustin, and it happens in a lot of games I've watched this year, how is it they can't place the ball where the running back goes down? That seems to be a real challenge for officials this year.
I don't know if they're out of position. Like, it's getting to the point where I was not necessarily thinking you had to have one of those trackers in the football to spot it. I think you have to do that now because that was – they got a first down. I don't remember what quarter it was in. I don't remember what play. They got a first down by like a yard and a half, and they were spotted behind the first down marker. It was egregiously bad. So you got to fix this.
And the whole body was beyond. Yes. It wasn't like, well, I can't see the ball. Was he holding it lower in his body, correct, higher? Didn't see it, so I'm guessing. No. The entire body was beyond. And, you know, Dustin, because this is one of my pet peeves. This creates salty Jim. How in the world could the review official who sees that stinking yellow line on the video not stop the game and say, we have a problem here? We're going to pick this up when we get back, Dusty. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Salty Jim. He is Dustin Schutte. Dustin, you got me all worked up at the end of the first quarter, and I have not settled down yet. But before I start whining some more, which I will do, let me let you know, if Dustin, if you are planning on coming out to Happy Valley either this weekend for the Ohio State game or the following week, Washington Whiteout game, still looking for accommodation, got the answer for you. And that is gopsurv.com. Dustin, here's what they do. They have an RV set up outside of the campus, off campus, a couple miles. They have the RVs there. All you do is you drive your car there. The RV is sitting there ready and waiting for you. You can spend the whole weekend there, check in on Friday, stay through Sunday. Of course, the RVs have kitchens in them, but they also have food vending there. They have a big pavilion, big screen TV to watch the other games. And maybe the best part of it is they have a shuttle. They'll take you back and forth to the game. No parking, no hassle there that you have to worry about. And the best way to describe it, it's a weekend of tailgating interrupted by a football game. If you want more information, just go to gopsurv.com or call 1-800-519-8467. Mark will pick up and he will take care of you. So, Dustin, if you plan on coming in, that's the way to go.
That sounds like a perfect weekend, Jim.
It is. I stayed there. It's so cool. They have, you know, the fire pits, you know, Friday night. It's great because there's, you know, you get the chance to watch the other games, drink a beer or beverage of your choice.
Adult beverage.
Yes. We call those daddy sodas. And it's an absolute great time. But anyway, let's get back to Salty Jim because you got me all worked up. The officiating in that Ohio State-Nebraska game, they spotted a ball. Ridiculous. The running back made it by a yard and a half. And just as an aside, Penn State ran into the same problem in their game. I don't know if you were watching closely. The announcers didn't say anything about it. But in Penn State's first possession, they ended up with a third and one. And on the third and one, that was the pass that Julian Fleming dropped. Then they had fourth and one, and they fumbled the snap. The fact is that second down run, they actually made the first down. It was a terrible spot, and they didn't catch it. The announcers didn't say anything about it, but that really hurt them. Fortunately, you know, the end of the game, it didn't affect it. But like in the Nebraska game, Dustin, it seems to be getting worse, and that spotting the ball seems to be the big issue. Why does that keep happening?
If only the Big Ten made enough money to pay officials, to give them a full-time job, to give them proper training in the off season. I don't understand, like, why this is such a difficult thing to do. You could pay, I don't know how many you even need. Let's just say 50 because it's a nice round number. You could employ 50 officials full-time with, I know the number's got to be higher than that, but you could employ 50, 100 officials full-time training in the off season. Have weekly check-ins, have them officiate spring games. Like this isn't that, this should not be this difficult. It's getting worse and worse. And it's just, the resources are there, and it should not be this bad. I don't understand what the Big Ten is spending its billions of dollars on when the officiating is this bad.
Well, my only – and I think you're right that that should happen. However, my question for you is, Dustin, when the running back or the ball carrier gets tackled, okay, see where the ball is. That's where you mark it, okay?
Right.
You don't have to have a doctorate in officiating to learn that, okay? And the other part to it that bothers me is when it is so obvious on TV, I'm sitting in my Barca lounger and sitting back and I instantly say, that's a god-awful mark right there. Have that official who's there hit the buzzer. Give me the stinking buzzer. I'll do it. Stop and check it and review it. It's not that difficult. So yes, that, if you, as you could tell, that bothers me quite a bit. Let's wrap up. The one other game I wanted to hit was our Nittany Lions 28-13 game against Wisconsin, as has become a trend. Nittany Lions start out slow and then they finish strong in the second half, Dustin.
Yeah. Another, 21 points. Outscored them 21-3, Wisconsin in the second half. Really kind of kickstarted by that pick six. The Penn State offense wasn't really clicking, but they, and obviously Drew Aller going down was a big part of that. But man, shout out to Bo Prabula for stepping in, what, 11 of 13, just under 100 yards, had 20 some rushing yards, played really, really well. And what's interesting to me, Jim, and I'm going to get off track of the actual game here just slightly.
That's okay.
Is that it seems to me that as much as we criticize Penn State's quarterbacks and James Franklin not getting that you know, five-star caliber guy, or that, you know, having that guy to lead your offense, I can't think of a time when a Penn State – I can think of one time, actually, and it was in that Iowa game. But more times than not, Penn State's backups are ready for these type of moments. Like, they are prepared for these types of situations. You can go back to when Trace McSorley was the starter and Sean Clifford and Will Levis would have to go in and back up, and they played extraordinarily well, sometimes when it was in mop-up minutes. So that's to have those guys ready for their moment is a huge thing, and it really paid off for them this week because Penn State could have folded. This is a good Wisconsin team. Like, earlier this season, this was not a talented Wisconsin team, but they've gotten better and better each and every week. They could have easily lost this game. They could have shut it down, but he stepped up. Obviously, the pick six was huge, kind of the turning point in that game. I think after that, they gave up a field goal, but then they scored two touchdowns there in the fourth quarter. Just a really solid, as I talked about with Indiana, the complimentary football in the last segment, another complimentary performance from Penn State. And Camp Randall's not an easy place to play. Also wonder if there's a little bit, I know James Franklin's got that mindset, one game at a time. Little bit of look ahead to next week against Penn State, maybe, or excuse me, against Ohio State.
And you could probably ask that about Ohio State too, with their performance against Nebraska. I don't really think it was. I think that, you know, they had the bye week, which is not normally a help for Penn State. Sure. James Franklin's record is not very good. But I did want to talk to you more about that quarterback situation. It's interesting at Penn State. If you look around the Big Ten, you probably know this better than I do. The majority, if not the vast majority, of starting quarterbacks in the Big Ten came in from the portal, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Penn State's starter came in through high school, you know, was a recruit. The backup, the same way. The third-team quarterback, the same thing. And James Franklin, I don't know if I'll say it's a good job. Others might argue the other way is better. But if your goal is to take your quarterbacks out of high school and train them yourself, and he's your guy, that's what James Franklin has done, probably as well, if not better, than anybody in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to keep those guys. And I understand the quarterback perspective. Only one person usually plays that position, although they've used Probola in certain situations this season. But yeah, I mean, he's done an excellent job. It's hard to find a player who is not a starter as a freshman that is willing to stick around. And so he's done a really good job with that in his time at Penn State. And it's like, you're going to lose some players to the portal. That's just the way of the world now. But I don't know. I don't think you have to have, like, and the interesting thing to me, Jim, is they brought in a new offensive, like, they were learning kind of a new offense. I know that Franklin said some different things, you know, it's new terminology, a lot of the same play calls and stuff like that. But I'm impressed. I don't think that Drew Aller is like this Justin Fields type or Quinn Ewers type, but you don't need to be. They've got a good running game. They've got a good offensive line. They've got two really good guys that you trust under center. And I don't think a lot of programs can say that they've got two guys that they trust.
No, I think a lot of them don't even have one. So,
yeah,
so
well,
Penn State
fair.
Is
yeah.
fortunate. And the other part to this is for Bo Prabula, this is his third year in the system. And I saw a statistic at one point, so I won't have it down perfect, but it was something like 80% of quarterbacks who have not become a starter in their first 2 years, they transfer. And yeah. Bo Prabula, this is his third year in the program, and he's still there. And I think what's going on is he and Drew Aller came in the same year. Now, Drew Aller didn't redshirt, and there's a very good chance he's going to leave for the NFL after this year. And Bo Prabula will still have 2 years of eligibility remaining. I suspect he's been told, not necessarily promised, but told, look, you could still be a two-year starter in this program. And he's bought into that. I think also I might be a little higher on Drew Aller than you are. And now that might be a little bit of a homerism going on there. But I mean, he can make all the throws. He's got a big time arm, and I think he's really demonstrated this year. He's not a statue back there. He can move around a bit, Dustin, and he looks like an NFL quarterback when you know, that 6'3", 240, you know, huge arm. I think that's the kind of player that the NFL salivates over.
Yeah, I think he can be an NFL quarterback for sure. I just, when you look at some of the bigger games that Penn State has played this season, I think he's played fine. But against Illinois, he didn't have to. They ran the ball extremely well. But numbers were okay. In that USC game, 3 interceptions. And I know you talked about, you know, those weren't all his fault. So that's fair. But in these bigger games, and especially dating back to last year, didn't play the best. So I want to see what he does against Ohio State on his home field. That's when I will start to buy a little. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. Don't misunderstand that. I just am not as high on him. I want to see how he performs this weekend against Ohio State. Big time environment, big time stakes. Yeah.
I hope he's healthy for it. And I do think the USC game was the example. They are down 2 touchdowns at halftime. And that second half, they let him take charge of the game. They put the game in his hands, and he did it. You know, those couple drives with the 4th down conversions, I was really impressed by that. Hopefully we'll get a chance to see it this weekend against Ohio State. All right, that's it for quarter two. Next segment, we're going to get to what we were going to talk about in quarter two. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, Enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin, I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State football. Dustin, we got off on a little tangent. We were supposed to get to, you know, the playoff scenarios in quarter two, so we'll do it now. Your power rankings, Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, Indiana. That's all you need to know. Which leads into...
Wait. How are you just going to gloss over the fact that I moved Penn State to number 2 after catching heck for 2 straight weeks?
I think you're setting Penn State up for playing Ohio State this week. So if they lose, you can say, see, I should have stuck to my guns and left Ohio State at number 2. Yeah.
I do want to say that I was more impressed with Penn State's win on the road against Wisconsin than I was Ohio State's home win against Nebraska. We'll see what happens. I may have been right, but I thought that the past week, all things even now, I was willing to put Penn State ahead of Ohio State. Obviously, we'll see. But I wanted to get my explanation in.
Okay. You know what? That's fair, because I've given you enough of a hard time about it. You're right. You deserved your minute to give the explanation. All right. What I wanted to get to, and it falls right in with the power rankings, Oregon, Penn State, then Ohio State, then Indiana. All 4 teams are probably in pretty solid position, Dustin, to make the playoffs. And just looking ahead a little bit to the schedules, obviously Penn State plays Ohio State this weekend. In a couple weeks, Indiana plays Ohio State. But if those games were to go the way most people think they will, which is Ohio State winning both those games, you would have an undefeated Oregon and a 1-loss Indiana, Penn State, and Ohio State. I can't imagine it going any other way but all 4 teams making the playoffs.
I think you're correct. Now, this is where I would get to where I would get curious is in terms of strength of schedule. And you've got you and I have discussed this at length in the preseason and at times during this season. I do wonder, I think where Penn State would have an advantage and where Indiana's disadvantage might be to any other one-loss teams or undefeated teams potentially, is the fact that they played Charlotte, FIU, and Western Illinois. And you look at their Big Ten schedule, Jim, they could go through the entire season 11-1 and not beat a ranked team. So I agree. I think 11-1, all four would get in. I could also very likely see a scenario where Indiana does not get in because their strength of schedule is so bad. And this is where I think we've talked about, like, just win and you'll get in. But there's a scenario out there where, because Penn State scheduled West Virginia in the non-conference, now I know their conference schedule is a little bit more to do with it, but scenario where because they scheduled Western Virginia, had Indiana scheduled a Western Virginia or a Boston College or and got a 10th or a 9th Power 5 win, maybe it's a little bit more appealing to put Indiana in. So that's what's going to be interesting if all three of those teams finish with an 11-1 record.
Now, this is not all happening in a vacuum. We have other conferences right. going on. And when I just sketched out some of the numbers, Dustin, and if you allow me to do one team from the ACC, one team from the Big 12, and that's where a couple of the question marks are.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, mm-hmm. okay, and a Group of Five team, that's four teams, and then it leaves eight teams, which would be four teams each from the Southeast Conference and from the Big Ten. I don't know if the committee would be really comfortable going 5-3. If it's possible with the permutations in the Southeast Conference. But
you don't think they'd be comfortable putting five SEC teams? No, they'd be jumping for joy. They're clicking their heels to do that, Jim. They're skipping down the road.
Well, I think the Big Ten has, you know, politically some pull here too. I think if it were 5-4 or 4-3, I'm wondering if they'd be comfortable making it 5-3 when you have big, you know, do you put a 2-loss Southeast Conference school in as a 15 ahead of a 4th 1-loss Big Ten team?
Here's how you answer that question. Who gets better ratings, a 2-loss Texas A&M or a 1-loss Indiana?
Or a 2-loss Alabama.
Or a 2-loss Alabama. Yeah, that's a better example because they've already got the 2-loss. Like, who, like, to me, that's what this will boil down to. And I know that, like, I like Kirk Herbstreit, but people like him will defend the college football playoff selection committees. But you can't deny their influence on this. And the fact that they're on ESPN, like, Indiana not getting, like, I saw a statistic, Jim, the other day, maybe this was a week or two ago, even though they've seen a massive increase in, like, their attendance and their success, their TV ratings are still bottom of the barrel. That, to me, that's going to play a factor in this. Like, unless they are 12-0, win the Big Ten, and you can't deny them, they're going to be on the cusp or on the bubble if they're 11-1 or 10-2. Leave it to chance. 10-2, most leagues in the Big Ten, SEC, most teams are getting in. Indiana, I don't think is. They have to be 11-1 or better to get in my opinion.
Well, before the season started, it was interesting. A lot of Penn State fans thought if they finish 10-2, they're automatically in. And I said, not so fast, you know, sure. that there'd be tiebreakers going on. It's interesting, and it's why I framed it earlier in the show. I think it would be enough. But, yes, I can see permutations where there's going to be the one-loss tiebreaker. Now, you know, I said one team from the ACC and one team from the Big 12. But there's a scenario in the ACC where Miami wins out, Clemson wins out. If Clemson wins out, they'll beat Pitt and SMU, which I think a one-loss Pitt from the ACC will be out. But now you got, if one-loss Clemson beats undefeated Miami in their conference championship game, Clemson right. goes. Miami now has one loss. Might the argument be a one-loss Miami versus a one-loss Indiana?
I think it could be. Yeah, I mean, I think that could be a deciding factor too. And I don't, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think. I'll just pull it. Like, but Miami's got some, not great, but they beat Louisville. They won on the road at Florida. I know Florida's not a great team. They don't really have a great win. They're not going to have a great win. But again, would you rather have Miami or Indiana in that scenario?
I want Indiana.
Well, yeah, we would like Indiana, but I think most people are going to say Miami. I don't know. I think the fact that Indiana did themselves no favors with their non-conference schedule. Now, they did set themselves up to be in this position, but I think, man, they're leaving it up. They are leaving it up to chance, let me just say.
Well, they will have wins over Nebraska, Washington, and Michigan if they go 11-1. They may not be top 20 teams, but they're name brands and they're Big Ten teams. And, you know, they are not bad teams. All three of those teams could have winning records.
They could.
In Big Ten schedules, okay?
Right. I think Michigan is destined for 7-5. Washington is probably going to be 6-6. Nebraska, I don't know, 7-5, 8-4. No, they're 5-3, so maybe 8-4 at best. I don't know, Jim. I think Indiana's been very good. I could also see a scenario where they get left out because of their schedule. Do you remember there was a time when Wisconsin went undefeated throughout the regular season, 12-0. They had to win the Big Ten championship game to get in. And they lost, and it was a close game. I think it was like a touchdown game until the last two possessions or something. Penn State won by 10 or 13 or whatever it was. But they had no chance to get in unless they won the Big Ten championship game. I think Indiana's facing a similar circumstance because of that schedule.
I would have to look at that year. I wasn't aware. I didn't recall Wisconsin being undefeated that year. But I also think they have to show up against Ohio State, where that can't be the, you know, 51-10 kind of game, right, where they're embarrassed and everyone will say, hey, the only reason why you won 11 games is your schedule. If they're competitive with Ohio State, and it's at Ohio State, it's in Columbus, you know, if they lose that game 24-17, it's pretty easy to say, you know what? Indiana belongs with the big boys.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not saying that right now they deserve to be in. They deserve to be in the conversation. They deserve to be in the playoff. I'm just saying with that schedule at 11-1, I would put them in. I could also see why you wouldn't want to put them in. I mean, look at, like, when you look at some of these SEC schedules, and I know there's some really tough Big Ten schedules too. Do not get me wrong, but Indiana has not played it.
Well, let me ask you this. We were talking about Southeast Conference teams, and right now there are only four one-loss teams in the Southeast Conference, and Texas A&M is going to play Texas. So that takes us down to three at most, okay? And those three, two of the three would have to play in a conference championship game. So now it comes down to a two-loss team beating out Indiana from the Southeast Conference.
Well, let's say Texas A&M loses to Texas. I mean, A&M would still, they'd at least have a win over a ranked Missouri team. They'd have a win over a ranked LSU team. I know you hate Mizzou. You think they're fraudulent, but they
fraud.
Are ranked.
They're fraud. They don't belong. They're not a top 25 team.
They would have a win over a ranked LSU team. I know their schedule isn't great, but if that's their second loss and their other loss is Notre Dame, it's tough. That's tough.
It is. And, you know, to wrap this up, we've been talking about this from day one. Mm-hmm. You're going to have, I think before the season started, we were thinking it might be a three-loss Southeast Conference team versus a two-loss team, whether it was Indiana or whoever. Now, we're talking it could be two-loss SEC team versus a one-loss Indiana or Big 12 team or ACC team. It's going to be chaos, Dustin. That's my only conclusion. All right, next segment, quarter four, we're going to look ahead. Stick with us. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim. He is Dustin Schutte, Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer. We've had a fun show talking about a lot of things with the Big Ten. We just got done talking playoff scenarios. Bottom line, to wrap up that playoff scenario conversation, is it's still chaos, Dustin, is it not?
Yeah, I think you had the best line of this whole thing, probably at the start of it or a few weeks ago, when you said they're actually going to have to do some work this year.
That is exactly it. That's what I've been saying since the 12-team playoff started, talk started. You're going to have to make some decisions. You know, I had people tell me Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois, they should have been disqualified right there from making the playoffs. That's it. You can't have a loss like that. And, you know, you're going to have to look at Notre Dame's schedule. What's going to be the – they had their big win over Texas A&M, who, fortunately for Notre Dame, A&M has just kept winning.
Yep.
But, you know, I have to look real quick at Texas A&M's schedule. If they, because they do play Texas, do they have another losable game? South Carolina, Auburn? No, I guess they don't. So, but that will be real interesting. But it's time for us to look ahead, Dustin. It's time to look at this week's Big Ten schedule. A couple net games of note here and a couple interesting point spreads in these games. I want to start with one of them that really intrigued me. Minnesota at Illinois. The point spread, depending on where you look, a couple of them have – the first one I saw had Minnesota favored by a couple points at Illinois. And then I've now seen a couple of them that have Illinois favored by a point or two. What is going on with that game?
Illinois is going to be down. They're expected to be down a lot of players in that game. I think a couple wide receivers are out. So I don't know if Caden Fagan is back or not. I'd have to check that. But basically it's an injury situation. And the additional thing is, I don't know what PJ Fleck puts in. Apparently it's Sprite in those capsules, the confidence capsules that he gives the players. But that's a real thing, by the way. I didn't just make that up.
Confidence capsule?
I don't know what it's actually called. Like a confidence capsule. He gave it after the Michigan loss, and then they upset USC. But it was filled with Sprite. Okay. So it was all mental things. But I think that Illinois injuries are the big thing. And then also Minnesota, I know that it hasn't been great competition, but they've won three straight and they just threw for over 300 yards in that win over Maryland. So maybe the Gophers have found something. This is, I don't know if developmental program is the right word to use. I mean, they are, but this is always a team that usually they play better throughout as the season progresses. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Minnesota get in there, a limping Illinois team coming off a big loss. Kind of dashed their college football playoffs or Big Ten championship hopes. So this could be a, I don't know if trap game is the right word, but this could be a tough one for Illinois.
Okay. Let's look at Oregon. They're doing the two time zone traveling to Michigan. And I think their game against Illinois last week convinced a lot of people. Oregon is more than a two-touchdown favorite at Michigan. When was the last time Michigan was more than a two-touchdown underdog at home?
Or anywhere, really. Maybe against Ohio State one year. Yeah, I I don't know. This is that's a good question, but I think going, I still, Michigan's offense, you watch that Michigan State game, it's not like they played great. Like, I thought Michigan State, you look at the box score, Michigan State won that game in the box score. I know that's not how it's decided, but maybe Michigan's defense can keep them in check. I just think there's too much firepower, and when Michigan's not able to score and keep up, it's going to look very I shouldn't say
it
that.
Could look.
I
don't think
it could look. I don't think it's going to look similar to Illinois, but I think it could be something in the, you know, like 35-14 or 35 closer game, but Oregon still, you know, takes care of business.
I could very much see that kind of game. The spread did surprise me a little bit, but kind of looking towards that end too, and maybe this says also a little bit about Michigan State. Indiana is at Michigan State. Indiana is only a 7-point favorite in that one.
I think there's some questions about whether or not Curtis Rourke, their starting quarterback, will be healthy and be able to play in that game, or will they have to rely on Taven Jackson? Jim, some of the things we just talked about in the last segment, I think are going to be null and void, because I think Michigan State's going to win this weekend. I think they're going to upset Indiana at home.
Wow.
This is my bold prediction for this weekend, because I think if you've watched Michigan State, now this could go out the window, but Michigan State has the ability to score points. If they're not turning the football over, they can launch it down the field. Nate Carter has the ability to run. They are versatile. They're not consistent. But I think after that loss against Michigan, the fact that they get Indiana at home, it's another rivalry game. I talked all season. Michigan State is going to beat some teams they are not supposed to, and they're going to lose some games they're not supposed to. I think this is a game that they are not supposed to win that they will win.
You know, it's funny. I haven't seen Michigan State play yet this year. And you've been saying all year that they're better than what we thought they were and what I thought they were. And Indiana, though, I've thought of as that team. Are they quite ready to take on the pressure of that undefeated season, the attention that comes with it? I thought that bubble was going to be burst by Nebraska a couple weeks ago. That's where I thought it would happen. It's interesting. I'm not sure I'm ready to say Michigan State wins the game, but it certainly wouldn't shock me.
I shouldn't say – I don't remember how I went on that game. I shouldn't say that I thought Nebraska would win or burst their bubble, but what I did think would happen was Indiana was going to get punched in the mouth, and what does it look like when they have to play defense? Well, obviously they didn't have to do much of anything because Nebraska just was horrendous that game. I think this is the game where you – what's going to happen when somebody can go blow for you with you on offense? Because Michigan State can. Now, if Aiden Childs throws four picks, obviously it's another blowout. But I just think that this team is explosive enough and their defense has played just well enough. I think this might be a 42-35 game, Jim. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of points.
Is Curtis Rourke going to be back for this game? Have they said yet?
He's kind of day to day from my understanding. So I think they are hopeful that he'll be back, but not certain he'll be back.
Gotcha. All right. I'm going to leave the rest of the segment for the big game of the weekend, which is Ohio State at Penn State. Spread is like 4.5 points. Is there another game? Is there another? Oh, well,
Purdue was going to be the big one we were going to talk about today.
It's a competitive matchup, only 1.5 spread. I will allow you one quick statement on the game. One, do it quickly.
Yeah, I mean, if you like pillow fights, then Northwestern Purdue at noon on Big Ten Network.
All right, that's it. That's all you're allowed to say about it. Also, you could say it's almost basketball season. So, Ohio State is at Penn State. Penn State it takes them a little while to get in gear, but a pretty impressive win on the road against a pretty good Wisconsin team. Ohio State at home did not look good against Nebraska. Penn State has their quarterback situation. Let me give you a prediction. Here's my prediction. James Franklin will give us no indication of whether Drew Aller will be ready for this game or not, okay? We will find out when Penn State's offense steps onto the field who the starting quarterback will be. First of all, let's start with this. How big a deal is it from your perspective if Drew Aller isn't ready to play.
You know what? I think it's a big, I don't know. This is tough because the reason it's a big deal because you want a guy who's been in those moments, who's been those, even if he hasn't performed well necessarily in some of those moments, he has that experience and he knows the environment. I also think Bo Pribula would be primed for the moment. Like, I think you saw that when you're on the road against, that's not an easy place to play. And again, as I said, Wisconsin is not Ohio State, but that's a good football team playing its best right now. And you were able to help lead your team to a win. Now, you had to get some help for your defense, but didn't make the mistake. I don't think Bo Pribula is going to make the big mistake. I think Andy Kotelnicki will put him in some really good spots. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as maybe people think. I think he can handle that situation very well. And I still like Penn State's rushing attack. I still think they'll try to control the football in this game and take some chances down the field at times, regardless of who their quarterback is. So it's hard to say that, like, it's not a big deal if your starting quarterback's out, but I just think that both guys are going to be prepared for this game.
And I think with Bo Pribula, it gives them that advantage that any college offense has if your quarterback could get a first down with you with his legs, you know, that third and three play. And the rest of Penn State's running game is better with that zone read where it's give it to the running back or keep it, becomes much more dangerous with Bo Pribula as the quarterback. Now, looking at Ohio State, Penn State had some injuries coming out of Wisconsin. Besides the quarterback, it was on Anthony Donka, the right tackle, Deni Dennis Sutton, one of the defensive ends. So there were other things going on. But that Ohio State offensive line took a couple of hits also.
Yeah, and let me tell you, they did not look good against Nebraska. 64 yards, 31 rushing attempts, whatever that average is, 2.1 probably. This is a Penn State defense that I think can get into the backfield. Now, I feel like also Ohio State is going to know that, and they're probably going to throw the ball. Like, Ryan Day is going to be prepared for this. But I would play very aggressively if I'm Tom Allen. I know at times they've been not played well, haven't tackled well, tried to force too many turns. But I think that this is a game, and I'd like to get your opinion because you follow Penn State much closer than I do. Penn State has, in my opinion, played some of these big-time games too conservatively. That's been a big knock against James Franklin. If you're going to go out swinging. Now, that doesn't mean play stupid, but take some chances. Blitz. Go for the big turnover. Try to make a play and stop the narrative that you're just playing not to lose, because I think that's been a big hindrance to James Franklin and kind of the narrative surrounding him ever since that 2016 season.
And I also think offensively, especially if Drew Aller plays, I have more confidence in a Drew Aller throwing the ball down the field, you know, that 15, 20-yard range. Not necessarily over the top, but not just a swing pass. And we saw that when they had to against USC. Unfortunately, we are out of time, Dustin. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.